It's Santa James, here to tell you all about the Creepy Kingdom Holiday Soiree, taking place on December 9th, somewhere at the Disneyland Resort. The exact location will be revealed only to those who RSVP on our Facebook event page, which can be found at facebook.com/creepykingdom. So join us and get together with other Creepy Kingdom listeners and take part in our Secret Santa gift exchange. That's December 9th, somewhere on the Disneyland Resort. RSVP, facebook.com/creepykingdom.
Spellcaster Media presents.
Greetings and welcome to the Creepy Kingdom Podcast, a podcast all about the creepiness of theme parks, films, and beyond. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II, and it is now time for my favorite time of year. That's right, creepy days are upon us. What are creepy days? It's special episodes where we review the best Halloween attractions in Southern California, Orlando, and beyond. You know, to check out videos, photos, show notes, and links to all of our social media and everything we talk about in this episode, just go to creepykingdom.com. And Creepy Days 2017 is brought to you by the Creepy Kingdom Patreon page. If you would like to help support Creepy Kingdom and have access to exclusive bonus footage and much more, go to patreon.com/creepykingdom. Even though Halloween may be officially over, we still have several Creepy Days episodes coming at you, including this one where we review Knott's Scary Farm at Knott's Berry Farm in Buena Park, California. And I would just like to say on the record here is that at the time of this episode's recording, I had not personally attended Not Scared Farm yet this year. But as of the time of this recording, right now, me talking currently to you, I have attended the event. And I just want to say on the record that their new maze, house, whatever you want to call it, dark ride, is one of my favorite haunted attractions I've ever been to in my life. I absolutely loved it. I was blown away. I was giddy. It was incredible. So on this episode, you're hearing me say I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm just going to let you know that right now that it did not let me down. I loved it. Also want to say on the record that this year's Elvira show was the best that I had ever seen it. It was better than any other year I'd watched it. I absolutely loved everything about it. So those are two opinions that of mine I just wanted you guys to know. But we have some other opinions and full review of the event coming up right now. Alrighty, we got a full house here tonight. Very excited. Let me introduce our elite panel. making her first voluntary debut on the show, because she's involuntarily been on the show as I just recorded her talking. She didn't know that I was doing it. The social media ghoul for Foolish Mortals, Little Nikki. Hello.
Hola.
And also joined by an actual debut, Miss Angie Taylor.
Hello.
And not quite any debut at all, but welcome back to the show, Josh Taylor.
I'm like a veteran at this point. This is great.
A veteran without an Ethernet cable.
Hey.
Well, we have an Ethernet cable. We actually have two now.
Right?
Because it's snapped in half.
Oh, well, yeah, there's the... is that like... Isn't that when you cut a worm in half, they turn into two worms? Is it the same idea?
It's totally just like that.
Okay, cool.
If you cut any wiring in your home, automatically you have more wiring, and it works in every place.
All right.
Yeah, you should try it.
Home wiring tip from Josh. Well, unfortunately, or fortunately, we're not here to talk about home wiring. We are here to talk about Not Scary Farm 2017.
Woohoo!
And boy, I gotta say, this is a debut, a first for Creepy Kingdom, is that we're reviewing a haunt that I didn't go to yet. I wasn't there. You guys were there, and I was jealous. I could not attend, but I am going to be able to go. I just have not gone at the point of this recording, but because this year looks, and from what I've heard from people that attended, that this was one of the best years yet. And we have quite an array of opinions, not opinions, I don't know your opinions yet, but at least experiences in Not Scary Farm. With Josh and Angie, this is your first time attending. And and this is not Nikki's first time attending. I don't know how many times you've been, but... and if I'm not mistaken, I also believe that this was the very first time that Angie went to any type of haunt whatsoever in her entire life. Is that true?
It was.
Wow. So this is very exciting. Quite an array of experience here when it comes to haunts. Before we get into it, I just want to reiterate for our listeners that might be wondering, why are we talking about Not Scary Farm on the podcast? Well, number one, Not Scary Farm at Knott's Berry Farm in Buena Park, California, they basically created the modern day, you know, haunted experience. This is the 45th year of Not Scary Farm. Just take a moment to think about that. That is nuts.
Especially when you're talking about, like, everybody reveres Halloween Horror Nights, and I think it's in its 27th year.
Yeah, the Orlando's at 27, and I don't know what Hollywood's at, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like, everybody reveres that, but now you're talking 45 years. I mean, that's a huge leap forward.
Yeah, they got, like, almost 20 years on them. So it's, like, absolutely incredible. This event is always a highlight of the Halloween season, in my opinion, and this year looked to be no different. So, you know, without any further ado, I guess let's get into this a little bit. Now, they introduced three new mazes. They often repeat some of the older ones. So I'm really eager to hear about that. But before we get into individual things, why don't you guys kind of one by one kind of let me know what your thoughts, like, overall of the evening. Whoever wants to go first, jump right in.
I'll go first.
Okay.
So, obviously, we already said this was my first time ever doing any kind of haunt. And I have to say, I don't know if, like, this was, like, a bad way to first experience it, because I feel like it's really hard for anything else to live up to it now.
Wow.
Because it was just such an amazing experience. Like, what really surprised me was how immersive everything was. I expected to walk in or walk through mazes and just have it be you know, like a black room with some props that you could buy at like the party store.
Well, those haunts do exist.
Yeah, exactly. And then like, you know, people hiding behind corners and jumping out. And I expected it to just be like that, but with like clown themed, or that, but with like pig themed, or, you know, like I just expected that. And when I first walked into the trick or treat maze, I mean, I was so scared that I could barely like take it all in, because I didn't want to look around, because I didn't want to see anything too scary. But what I did see was it looked like I was walking into somebody's house. And that's, you know, that's how the maze is set up. And I wasn't. Like, I was walking into like some soundstage type building with, you know, probably plywood and paint just slapped up on the walls. But it looked like I was in someone's house. And just from that moment on, everything at Not Scary Farm lived up to that. And it blew me away.
Wow. Yeah. I know that you were concerned about, you know, before you went, and I knew, and I've said this to other people, for, you know, people that are just kind of used to going to Disney parks to get a step their toe into haunts, I think Not Scary Farm is the perfect place to get started, because it's not the most intense thing ever, but the quality is so high that it you know, you get immersed in it, you know, for lack of a better word.
Yes, if you take away the scares, it in itself is an amazing experience. Like, you could literally take all the scare actors. I mean, you could leave actors in that don't scare you, but and walk through those sets, I almost want to call them. And it would be a whole new experience, because it's just like there's so much to look at and take in and appreciate when it comes to all the details.
Indeed. All right. Nikki, what are your thoughts on this year's event?
You know what? I had a better time than I had last year. And I went to Halloween Horror Nights a week ago. And I know how people are so into Halloween Horror Nights, and I was underwhelmed by Halloween Horror Nights, and I'm...
Really?
I love my Not Scary Farm.
Interesting.
We were the exact same way. We said the exact same thing.
Wow.
Yeah, I went to Halloween Horror Nights one other time, and that was, easily over 10 years ago, when they had the Rob Zombie and Buffy the Vampire Slayer mazes. And those were amazing. But yeah, when I went back a week or so ago now, the scare zone was nothing. It was a well-lit, unfogged area with minimal scare actors. And it left a lot to be desired. I mean, like, the mazes were cool, but like the scare zones weren't scary. There were no sliders. Nobody scared the bananas out of me.
Yeah, I've never seen sliders at Universal. That's definitely
you know, like the lack of fog, so them coming out at you from out of nowhere. It was, I mean, like, it was totally uncrowded, and we got to hit up like all the mazes and a couple of them more than once.
Well, you went on a good night then.
Yeah. It was like amazingly uncrowded. So, I mean, like, I had fun with my friends, but it didn't live up to Knott's. So I was kind of like, wow.
Interesting.
If I had paid full price for that ticket, I would have been pissed.
Well, not digging too deep into Halloween Horror Nights is not what we're talking about. But I'm interested to say that you said you had more fun than last year, because last year I was with you, and I thought we had a blast. So I don't know
had a great time, but remember, last year was actually pretty crowded.
Yeah.
On the press night. But this year, press night, it was undercrowded. It was amazing. Even without the front of line passes for press, the park wasn't like capacity. It was great.
Oh yeah, because last year everything was packed.
Yeah, it really was. And this year it wasn't. I mean, like, yeah, I missed you guys, you know, and I got to see Shannon for a brief minute, but But yeah, it was, I feel like it was a better year.
Right on, right on. All right, Josh, your thoughts?
I also feel like this year was a better year than last year. Mostly because I wasn't there last year.
I was like, yeah, what a bummer it was last year without you.
That would step it up a bit, wouldn't it?
It was good. It was good. Here's the thing. As somebody who, and I know that I talked to a lot of people on press night who were impressed at the additions that they had, but like for them, it was kind of the same old, same old. A lot of these mazes didn't change. I think like James said, there are a total of 9 mazes, which is the most that any park has in the Southern California area. And a lot of them really didn't change all that much from previous years. At least that's what I'm told. But as a first timer who was able to experience all of these mazes as something new, it really was an incredible evening. And I have to say, like you were kind of saying, you know, Universal is, they have the franchises, they have the name power of characters, exactly. And that's what draws people in.
Yeah.
But I personally, for me, like, I would rather see originality with Halloween Horror Nights, especially like with characters that I know. And not to knock Halloween Horror Nights, I did have a fun time. It was definitely a different experience. But when you look at a character like Ash from Ash vs. Evil Dead, and every person who's playing Ash is wearing a mask versus Not Scary Farm, the makeup and special effects that go into some of the character creations was outstanding rather than just people wearing masks.
Yeah, the mask thing was weird.
That's something that, yeah, just really stood out to me, first and foremost, just like the character design and the set design as a whole was amazing. And you have to think of this theme park during the day, especially like Camp Snoopy, right? Camp Snoopy during the day is a children's area. And in the evening, they turn out all the lights. They created this wonderful colonial America with like the Salem witch trial type of atmosphere all around it. And I really believed in it. I didn't believe that I was walking right by Charlie Brown's place. You know, like, I think that they accentuate the positives and that they hide the negatives. They hide the fact that they don't have these franchises like Universal does. But instead, they go above and beyond to create something original and fantastic that really suits their style of scares, their style of how they want to portray a scary type of environment. And it really works on all levels. I think, yes, I had my favorites as far as mazes and scare zones and things. But if you were to put me in one maze or one scare zone, I would never complain. I loved pretty much everything I saw.
Wow. Wow, so it seems like this set the bar pretty high.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get to the houses, the mazes, whatever the heck they call them. So there's 3 new. One is kind of a new version of older stuff. So I'm really excited for this one new maze called Dark Ride. When they described it at the preview event, it seemed like it's this is right up my alley. So without really giving away any spoilers, you know, what did you guys think of Dark Ride? Whoever wants to go first, just jump
I'll
in.
I'll go first.
You go first.
Well, I have to say, of course, spoiler free, but every maze, pretty much, I think every maze had like this kind of like whammy in it, right? No, we're not whammy. What's the term?
Finale?
Finale?
Sure.
Yeah, sometimes it wasn't at the end, but there was always like something kind of like larger than life that right. would happen in each maze. And I have to say, in Dark Ride, that one like really impressed me. That kind of room that you went into. But I enjoyed it. It wasn't my favorite. I know, like, a lot of people really loved it. I feel like I want to do it again. to get what everyone was so happy about. I think what kind of disappointed me was I actually thought it was going to be like a dark ride, like you sat in
a ride
vehicle. Yeah, and I was like, oh, you walk in it. Okay.
It's
yeah,
because there were actually tracks for a ride on the floor.
Yeah.
So I guess we should describe what this is. People don't know. I'll read the description. Journey through an abandoned carnival ride where cruel carny folk still linger in the shadows in Dark Ride. So it's essentially like a broken down carnival ride that you're walking through. It's a pretty unique concept for a haunt, that's for sure. But because of that, I mean, it kind of, when I first heard them talk about it, it kind of reminded me of the ride in House of a Thousand Corpses.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. That's what I thought it was going to be like.
Oh, so you literally thought you were going to get on the murder ride or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
That's funny because when Halloween Horror Nights had the Rob Zombie maze, you went through the murder ride.
Oh, it actually was a ride?
Yeah, there was the murder ride. You went through it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think with this maze, it was something new for them, right? And again, like for Angie and I, it was a whole new experience the entire night. But for a lot of people, Dark Ride became their favorite for people who had been seasoned veterans because it was new, it was interesting, and kind of like what Angie had said before, set design was, it seemed like no detail unturned. I mean, like, it just seemed like every single turn and room that you entered into was super detailed. And all of the actors that were involved in this were telling a story from the beginning to the end. There were a lot of scare actors that stopped us and, like, basically had a full-on conversation with us.
In the haunt, really.
Within the haunt, and it was because they wanted to tell the story of this place and what was happening. And without giving spoilers away, the story was really cool in how there were people... once you get into the maze, you're not necessarily in the dark ride completely yet. And there were a lot of people that were scare actors that were kind of in that room. And then at the end of the maze as well, you're out of the dark ride, so to speak, but you're still within the maze. And they were there as well. So they kind of told a story from beginning to end.
Wow, I can't wait to get in there. So I'm really excited about it. So.
Well, I'm glad you guys had a way better experience than I did on that one.
Uh-oh.
Because, because I'd heard about it and I was looking forward to it. And Shannon said the same thing, but like the room that I'm sure Angie's referring to was almost barren of actors. And the entire maze itself seemed to be pretty empty of actors.
That's weird.
I know. Like, we must have gone at break time because we had quite a few actors within there.
Yeah, see, that was like the one where I had the least amount of scares, and I go in with like my defenses completely shut off. I want the scares. I love that. And it didn't happen in there, and I was really bummed out. So I'm hoping that it lives up to the to what everyone else is saying about it, because I'm going again on Sunday. Because yeah, I was really bummed that it didn't live up to what everyone else was saying about it.
Hmm. Interesting. Wow.
Yeah. I was bummed. I was like, I was expecting more, but then like the other two new mazes, my heart beats for them. They were amazing. I was blown away.
All right. Well, let's jump to to another one. Let's do the other completely brand new maze, Pumpkin Eater. I'll read the description so we have some context for our listeners. Survive the wrath of the murderous 7-foot-tall creature that haunts the old woods surrounding the hollow in the new maze, Pumpkin Eater. The notorious creature on the prowl within the dark confines of the haunted town he once terrorized. I think I messed that sentence up. Whatever. To escape the sinister Pumpkin Eater's wrath, all must go on a quest through the silent town of victims, face a cave of crawling insects, and solve the labyrinth of thorns that blocks the way out. That sounds pretty scary, guys. So, and this picture is like a grotesque monster that was once a pumpkin, or maybe I'm not quite sure what the pumpkin eater is. Is he a pumpkin, or was he a pumpkin, or does he just eat pumpkins?
Who even knows?
Everything is a pumpkin. Just if everyone, you're a pumpkin. He's a pumpkin. It's all a pumpkin.
I'm a pumpkin too. All right, good. Dr. Pepper, who's a pepper too. All right, so Pumpkin Eater, what do you guys think of this one? I mean, well, Nikki, you might as well go into it, because you started alluding that you loved it. So
I did. I, from the moment we walked in, like, you, as you're walking up to it, there's scarecrows with the pumpkin heads, and you get in there, and there's, like, you know, cement pumpkins that are, like, in the beginning of the maze that are as big as me, which is like 5 feet or bigger. And so I'm just like, can I take these home? I want them all in my home right now. And the scarers, the actors were great. The effects, both the practical and the special effects, were just blowing me away.
Wow.
There was a spot where I got genuinely squeaked out. I was just like, ew, what just touched me? And it was great.
Is that the insect they're talking about, or?
Oh no, it's definitely not that.
It's in at the same time.
Because I don't specifically remember insects, but like there was a part where like you're walking through and like pumpkin ooze is like dripping on you.
Pumpkin ooze.
It's like, one of the most memorable.
I didn't know it was coming, and I was like, ew, what was that? And I was like, oh, okay, it's all right. But I just loved it. Partially because to me, like, Halloween is jack-o'-lanterns. That's just, you know, part of the history. So it just really tied into, like, old school Halloween for me. And it just, like, the actors and, like, there were, like, projections on the walls. And it was just, I can't even. It was so good. I was so impressed. I loved it so much.
All right. So, Josh?
So one of the things that I noticed in this evening, out of all of the nine mazes, there were the two, that Dark Ride, which we just talked about, and Pumpkin Eater. And these two mazes really were the centerpieces of their scare zones. Dark Ride was a part of the carnival area, so there were clowns outside, really leading you up to Dark Ride. Right. But I felt like Pumpkin Eater, taking place in the Hollows, this whole colonial 1700s, 1600s witch trial type of vibe,
exactly,
that was going on in the Hollows, just immediately brought you to this kind of like harvest season. And walking through the queue area with the pumpkins, like Nikki said, there was something that just felt kind of classic about this. This felt like old Halloween, and the scare actors, not even just the scare actors, the actors that were in there portraying victims and things like that, because I think that maybe needs to be something that needs to be talked about. It's not every actor in there is there to scare you. There's actors in different mazes that are there to play a part, and some of these characters that were victims were so good. The outfits, the costuming was amazing. And then the idea that you were literally stepping inside a pumpkin. I know that Disney always says, you know, for things like Bugs Land and stuff, it's like, we're shrinking you down to the size of this or whatever. Mm. It was the same thing here, right? They shrunk you down to the size of a bug so that you could be inside this pumpkin or whatever. And you really felt like you were inside of this kind of cavernous pumpkin. And it was amazing. It was so original and unique. And for so much of the Halloween season where we see monsters and goblins and ghouls, to kind of go back to this colonial harvest season vibe was really interesting and unique and a great spin on a maze that you are definitely not going to see anywhere else. I could see Dark Ride being built somewhere else. You're never going to see Pumpkin Eater again the way that this is built out. It's beautiful. It's amazing. And like Nikki said, I think this was my favorite haunt of the night. Definitely some of the most memorable moments of my night.
Wow. Angie, what do you think about all this pumpkin
stuff?
Yeah,
I think... I think Josh, like, thought the Dark Ride story was so good. I think Pumpkin Eater, if any of the mazes told you a story that there was actually, like, a clear beginning, middle, and end, it was Pumpkin Eater. And I think, like, to expand upon, you know, the fact that he said there's victims that you come across, they're actually kind of trying to lure you in as well and saying, you know, come join us, basically. Like, they're victims, but they're almost like entranced by this pumpkin eater character as well. And they're asking you to come and, like, be one of his wives as well. And you know as you walk through the maze, you're kind of being told that story of becoming one of those wives.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting. I also did you want to say something on that? You no? Oh, okay. Josh looked very excited when I was saying that. But also, this, I think of all the mazes, you know, this one had scary elements to it, like, you know, monsters and things coming out at you. But I think, like what Nikki said, the icky moment, it was the only maze that actually made me cringe. And I think that's, like, a different, like, there's body horror and there's, you know, like, fear, you know, running away from the bad guy. But there's, like, this like, cringy aspect to Pumpkin Eater that I didn't get from any of the other mazes. And I feel like that's a different kind of fear that I haven't experienced otherwise in any of the haunts that we've done.
Wow. So here I am thinking Dark Ride is the big hit. But Pumpkin Eater seems like a grand slam here.
I think it's the underdog. I think most people went in thinking Dark Ride was going to be their favorite. And I think Pumpkin Eater really did blow a lot of people away. I know people who loved both. And, you know, when we get to Trick or Treat, that again was another thing that blew a lot of people away. As the three kind of new mazes, even though Trick or Treat had been around for a bit, but the updated Trick or Treat. But I know a lot of people had, the great thing about Not Scary Farm and the differences between all their mazes and all the different stories is that everybody can pick their favorite type of story. I, like Nikki was saying, I really loved the idea of it being so different and unique and original and kind of going back to this harvest season. It was something different that I'd never experienced before, and I really liked that originality.
Oh, wow. Well, that's another one I can't wait to go. It was so weird doing the show and not have done this stuff. I'm just like, I want to do that. I want to go to that.
You know what's funny is that earlier in the night, because I did Pumpkin Eater almost as an afterthought. I forgot it was there. And as we were leaving, I was like, oh, wait. And we, like, ran off to the side to go hit it. And, like, earlier in the evening, I had done Red Barn, which is the other new one.
That's not a new one. Red Barn was there last year.
No. Red Barn is upgraded from one of the skeleton keys last year.
No. We did that one last year. I remember. It wasn't a skeleton room. It was a...
Okay, then what was the new one?
The new one is Trick or Treat, Pumpkin Eater, and Dark Ride. Trick or Treat lights out.
Okay, but just turning off the lights doesn't make it a new maze.
Well, I don't know. We're going to get to that one next.
Because Red Barn last year was a skeleton key.
No, it wasn't. I swear.
I didn't go in it then. Because we went in. We went into a skeleton key, which was, I swear, was Red Barn.
No, it was in a barn. I know what you're talking about. That's the thing. Last year they had these skeleton key houses, which were an upcharge. They didn't have any of these this year. And but they had. It was in a barn, and they gave us lanterns that turned off and on.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That wasn't
Red Barn, though. That was something else.
Really? Because I do not remember Red Barn from last year, and I went with you guys.
Yeah, well, you were there. I guess that's how much of an impression left on you last year.
Because this year I was really impressed with Red Barn, but then I went to Pumpkin Eater, and I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. Pumpkin Eater is the winner.
I mean, I wasn't super impressed with Red Barn last year, but so I'm curious. We'll get to that in a little bit, but I do want to talk about Trick or Treat, because this is, I don't know how many years Trick or Treat has been there, but it's kind of an old staple at this point. And this is independent of how they've upgraded it. This was the classic Halloween, what I think of. Like classic Halloween, you know, you go to the old abandoned house and there's the classic Halloween witch and trick or treaters and all this fun little stuff that's all in there. And so this year they have decided to do it all in the dark by giving you flashlights. And it's interesting you brought up that barn experience last year, because they give out lanterns, and I've done about 3 or 4 haunts where they give you a light that they control, and then they turn it off at certain points. And every time I've done it, it's really annoyed me. It's just psychologically annoying to hold some type of light source and have it like turn off. So I was kind of skeptical of Trick or Treat Lights Out. And I expressed this to Shannon, and she said, you know, don't you worry, because it's not annoying. It's super awesome. So I'm curious, to hear what you guys thought about this controlled flashlight experience.
I think Angie should go first, since this was her first haunt.
Yeah, it's the first one you went into, right?
Yeah, so it was funny because Josh was like, you have to go in first. Because, like, you got to experience this, like, up front and center. I took 3 steps in the door, and I just froze, and I was like, I can't. Aww. I can't go forward. I was so scared. So he ended up going in front of me, and then I kind of, like, had my head down for the first walkthrough. but we did it again so that I could actually see everything the second time.
She got way more brave about 30 minutes into the night. So don't worry, Her entire view isn't completely skewed due to, like, the back of my shoulder.
Okay.
You know, like, this is the only thing that she did where, like, she was afraid and didn't know what to expect. And then as we finished the house, she was like, oh, okay. And then we definitely, you know, made a date of it to go back later in the evening. And especially because we started... And here's a thing, especially to know about this maze in particular. A lot of the mazes and set designs and things, because basically, kind of like what Angie said earlier, a lot of them are made out of just like basic plywood and whatnot. Light does seep in. And so the park opens when it's still light out. And going through the maze first, the flashlights didn't really do kind of what they were supposed to do, because I could still see enough light coming through the cracks of the set. So later on in the night when we did do it, I think we did it at like 10 or 11 o'clock at night. It was very dark out at that point. The flashlights definitely worked. The black light on it worked. When it did turn off, it wasn't annoying because it was at a part where it made sense to turn off, or it's a kind of flash or whatever the sake of it may have been. But going through it a second time allowed us to look more at the set design, and when it became a black light, to see some of the things that were on the walls. And Angie really did pay attention more to that stuff at that point. But I'll let Angie again go back to her points here now that she's calmed down from the excitement of the first run.
Yeah, I agree with the flashlights. They were actually, like, very dim, and they were more like a beam. So it was really – they didn't really help you see your way as much as, like, if you wanted to kind of shine it on something in particular and get, like, a better view of that thing.
Okay.
I feel like – I don't know if, like, the rooms were kind of lit otherwise on their own anyway, just like very dimly, or if it was just like a collection of other people's flashlights. But like, there was always like a little bit of light in the rooms, and then like your flashlight, you'd just shine on something in particular. But the one thing that did bug me about them is I would be like shining it, and then like a scare actor would come out, and I would like have it be shining on them, and I'd be like, oh my god, I'm so sorry, like I don't want to like shine a flashlight in your eyes.
Very polite.
You apologize to the scare actor.
Yeah, I kept saying sorry, and I'm like, oh my god, sorry. Sorry. And it's like, so that kind of like made me not like the flashlights because I was so concerned.
You're too sweet. They were like
blinding the scare actors.
Yeah.
I think that's an occupational hazard of being in a flashlight house.
Totally.
So, but overall, you liked it? I guess it depended on shining.
Oh, it was amazing. Okay. I keep going back and forth between that and Pumpkin Eater being my favorite mazes. I can't choose.
You have to. No, I'm sorry.
Look at it the way I do, which is like my favorite of like the old mazes and my favorite of the new mazes.
Sure.
You weren't there for like old mazes?
Yeah, this was all new to us, though. So, yeah.
So Nikki is you're looking at this as an old maze, even though I've gone through the house before with the lights on. What are your thoughts about going through with the lights out version?
I actually didn't appreciate it as much, largely because in the past that's one of my favorite mazes.
Yeah.
The architecture, the artwork is beautiful, and I wanted to get more pictures of it this year. And I couldn't because it was all dark.
Yeah. So is it the same maze exactly?
It's the exact same maze.
Okay.
It's literally just they turn off the lights and said, here's a flashlight. And there's so many details in there that I just loved and adore from the past. And I was bummed that I'm like, I can't see anything that was so pretty and amazing last year.
Interesting.
So for me, the flashlight was a miss.
Yeah, I think it's such a unique thing that it is a hit or miss for people. In the past, it's been a miss for me. I'm curious to see what I think about it this time. I like the idea of secret messages in blacklight.
Yeah, I think the blacklight is a great idea. I think the gimmick of the flashlight isn't necessarily something that's going to stand the test of time.
Yeah, I didn't even really notice any blacklight stuff. But did you say you noticed that more when you went through later at night?
Yeah, I noticed it more when we went through later. When we went through during the day, because there was enough light seeping in to the maze, that really the flashlights did nothing. They didn't matter at all. I'm assuming that it was almost partially as if it was in years past. Again, I haven't been. This is my first year. But right. I would say that later on in the night, the blacklight effect worked. There were a couple of paintings, for example, and this isn't spoiling really anything, but there's a painting of a man on a horse. And if you were to flash the light at it when it was a black light, it was a skeleton on a skeleton horse. So there were like little tiny details like that smattered throughout the entire maze, which was great. And it made you slow down and stop. The only problem with slowing down and stopping in this maze is that on hand, Knott's only has, I would probably guess, around 100 of these flashlights. So it's going to be the longest line that you stand in, besides special ops, and we'll get to that, because of the gimmick of the flashlight. And it stinks because they probably want you to hurry up throughout the maze, but it's a maze with the black light worth taking your time slowing down and appreciating some of the things that you can find.
Well, it's got a lot of repeat value then, I guess, if you're looking for stuff with them.
If you are, and if you're not, allowed to really slow down as much.
I do have to say though, there wasn't like a ton of black light stuff. I think if they're going to do it again next year, they like need to add in a ton more.
Yeah. There was a smattering, like something in each room.
Okay.
It would be great to see, like, a whole wall full of stuff or something.
Okay. Maybe when I go on Sunday, I'll go later in the evening. Because, I was kind of bummed because, like I said, I really love just the whole ambience of that maze, and it was lost in all the darkness.
And you were in line with us right at the beginning of the day, too. So, yeah, you went in around the exact same time we did.
Yeah, you guys were right behind us.
Interesting. I don't. I guess I'd never gone through that maze during the day. I never remembered a lot of light seeping in.
You know? It's not a lot. It's just enough to where, because the flashlights are so dim.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure with all the lights out, it just it stands out more. And that was opening night, so that might be something that has been addressed since then. This episode of Creepy Kingdom has been brought to you by League of Shadows. This is an Etsy shop that specializes in paranormal and creepy-inspired jewelry, including a Haunted Mansion Parasol Girl necklace. Just go to Etsy.com/shop/League of Shadows. That's Etsy.com/shop/League of Shadows.
Well, you know what's funny is I remember last year thinking that a lot of the scare actors, like the entire haunt through, were a lot of new scare actors, and they didn't have their beats down. They didn't have their scares down.
Right.
But this year, opening night, I was impressed the entire night. I couldn't tell who was a new scare actor, who wasn't.
I would agree with that.
Well.
Because I remember that was one thing I specifically thought last year. I was like, you know, I'm sure, you know, a couple weeks in, all these actors will have their crap together. Are we allowed to say crap, James?
Strike one.
Probably strike two.
Yeah.
Because I remember that thinking that, you know, later in the season it'll be much better. But this year, like night one, they were all great. I didn't have any qualms about their acting.
I think a lot of the actors, I'm almost positive, a lot of the actors that I worked for Scary Farm were cutting their chops all summer long with acting in Ghost Town Comes Alive, which was their Western LARPing experience that Knott's had this past summer.
Yeah, basically Westworld.
Yeah. So,
over the summer?
Yeah, it ended Labor Day.
Oh, I didn't even know.
Yeah, this is the second year they did it, and I guess they're bringing it back again. I ended up checking it out the last day, and it was very amusing, to say the least. There's like all these storylines that go throughout the day, and you got these different events that happen at different times, and there's bank robberies, and there's a big hoedown at the end of the day.
A hoedown?
Yeah, it was a hoedown.
Poor hoes. They don't deserve that treatment.
I know. But now that you can't say that.
Strike two.
But anyways, no,
why are we hating on gardening implements?
I don't know. Well, somebody's got to. But Nikki tries to trip me up, but I won't lose my train of thought. I already did. Anyways, moving on. Scaggers are great.
Oil in the game.
All right. So instead of we're not really going to, from here on out, kind of not really going to go through each maze because there are a lot of return ones, and some of our listeners have either experienced them or heard about them before. So what I'd like to do kind of at this point is why don't you guys just talk about your highlights of the other mazes? You know, something that sticks out that you wanted to talk about. So let our haunt newbie start it off here, Angie.
Go, newbie!
Overall, I was like really impressed by a lot of the theming. I was excited to go into like Paranormal Inc. because I really love paranormal stories, and like when I go for horror, that's usually the type of horror that I go for. And so I was excited to do that just simply for the theme. Shadowlands surprised me. I didn't think that type of theming would be something that I'd be interested in, but I think they did it really well.
How would you describe that type of thing? That's such a unique maze, too. The Shadowlands.
Yeah, I think, like, just, like, this idea of, like, like an almost like an ancient.
Well, it's supposed to be ancient Japan.
Yeah, but like not necessarily like the like Japanese aspect of it, but I feel like just like the like ancient ritualistic like I'm more interested in like I guess like magic and like, you know, paranormal and stuff like that, whereas like Shadowlands is more like what's the martial art, like
Samurai.
Like that theme just in general doesn't really interest me, and I think like something like zombies and stuff don't usually interest me. So it's kind of, I felt like it was kind of like a mashup of like zombie and samurai, and but it was done so well. Like the costuming didn't throw me off by having those themes to them. And a lot of the special effects, without giving too much away, really impressed me and scared me. And just kind of like wandering through the space made me feel as if I really was in that space. Like when, there's parts where you go outside, but you're not actually outside. You're still in a building. And it feels like you're actually outside. Which was really impressive. The special ops, that one for me, it's basically zombie themed, and you get like a,
it's zombie like a laser, it's zombie laser tag, right?
Yeah, I was excited. I was so excited for that, to have like a laser tag gun, but you get so rushed through it that it didn't, I almost don't even really remember it, because I was, wow. I was like running through it. Like they're like, go, 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 go. And then like you get to the next person and they're like, okay, like team, we're, you know, you got to just get through this next area and get to the checkpoint, blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, go, 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 go. And you're basically like running and they're like rushing you along. But for me, I think like it wasn't my favorite. It was something that like really sticks with me though, is the voodoo maze. Another one, again, I wasn't like super interested in going into, but there is, it surprised me, because there was a point where we're walking through this like backyard, like bayou community area. And I was like, it doesn't feel like I'm walking through a maze with a guided path right now. Oh. It looks like I'm in a big open space.
I think that's like literally what I've said about that maze in the past. It's one of my favorites. And when you're walking through that graveyard area, it just seems like you're really in a place. Plus, it's all hot in there. I don't know if they still had it hot this year, but they make it all humid. Like. Oh my god, that's such a great maze. I love it.
Yeah, and there was like one point where, you know, we're walking through that area and we walked into like one of like the houses, and like there's like a TV on, and like it's, you know, just some weird backwoods house, and some guy just like walks in, you know, one of those characters, and he's like, "What are you doing in my house?" And I was like, "That's scary." Like that is scarier than like any monster to me. Like like you're in someone's house and they're like, "Why are you in my house?" And you don't know like what their intentions are, and they don't know what your intentions are. And like, to me, that was like, I walked out and I couldn't stop talking about that moment. Like I was like, that was good. Like, more of that, please.
Yeah, I mean, oh, the immersion. I love voodoo. And I also want to point out Paranormal Inc. and Voodoo. They're probably my favorites of the past. The beginning of Paranormal Inc. is just such a cool moment.
Great storytelling, for sure.
It's very enjoyable. All right, so Nikki, what are your some highlights of the other mazes?
Highlights of the other mazes. I finally got to do the special ops this year. I didn't get to do it last year. And that was awesome. I loved it. I know that line gets crazy long if you don't have a front of the line cast. So I don't know how willing I'd be to wait in that line. I'd probably rather just go somewhere and play laser tag or something. But it was cool. I was glad I finally got to see it. Paranormal Inc. I feel like this should be the last year of it.
Oh, you're tired of it, huh?
I'm tired of it, yeah. Yeah. Shadowlands, I still love it. I still think it's beautiful. I think they did a great job with the immersion. And the same thing struck me this year as it did last year, was that the women in it using their fans as a scare tactic was a genius idea, and it works so well.
Yeah, they're like killer fans. I love it.
Yeah, you know, like because you know me, I carry a fan in my purse all the time. So, and like that sound of like, you know, flicking open your fan or closing it, it's a really distinct sound. So when they used it as a scare tactic, I was like, that's brilliant. I was blown away by the genius of it.
Yeah, like I said, there's so many unique things that Knott's does that you just don't see other places using.
Right. I feel like it's so much, like it was, I don't know. I mean, like, you know, Halloween Horror Nights has like the big names and monsters. But yeah, like Knott's really goes all in for their scares, I feel like.
And
they just do an amazing job of it.
And apparently you liked the Red Barn this year because you said
that. Oh, you know what? So I was actually sitting here while I was listening to Angie. I was looking up a video of Red Barn. And so, yeah, I guess it was last year, but I was trying to find, and I remember thinking last year that, because they didn't do the lanterns this year.
Right.
But it was much more immersive this year. And like the actors were frantic and rushing you through like the pig doors that you would go through in like an industrial meat packing.
Actually,
you were crashing down and you're like being rushed through. They're like, you know, trying to get you like, look, we found an escape. Go this way. Run, run, run. And it was intense. And I was really blown away. And last year I was like, we kept walking into corners and turning around. I'm like, this is stupid.
Actually, like, the concept sounded
great. I was like, when I saw it last year, I was like, you know, the concept is great, but I felt like it wasn't a full maze. And I felt like we just kept turning into corners and being like, okay, now what? They fixed it.
What were you saying?
There was actually a really funny moment in Red Barn. Well, it was funny for me anyway. Tip. If you go with Josh, don't let him lead. Or you can let him lead, but maybe don't follow him.
Because
he likes to go the wrong way. So, like, if there's, like, if it looks like you're supposed to go left, and then there's, like, a little tiny, like, area that a scare actor is hiding in on the right, he, for some reason, thinks you're supposed to go right. And there was, that happened, exactly that, in the Red Barn, and like, you know, one of the guys comes out and he's like, and he like, he has like a mask on and like an axe or something in his hand. And Josh is like, not even scared. He's just trying to go right. But the guy just came out of the right and he's trying to like block Josh, like body block him. And he's like, so Josh just goes like, you know, they're like both moving the same way. And then Josh tries to like go the other way around him. And he like, he has to like block him. And like, he keeps just going side to side so that Josh, and I'm like, Josh, go left, Josh. And finally, like the guy had to just stop and break character and be like,
really?
That way.
Oh, you had to break character.
Thanks. Thanks for throwing me under the bus.
Oh, brother. sounds so defeated. All right, Josh. So what were some of your other highlights there?
I actually, Angie was saying she didn't really care for Special Ops and kind of like the rushing of it. To me, that's what made it. Nikki said she liked it. To me, Special Ops was all about this kind of what would happen if the zombie apocalypse was really happening and kind of like the crazy franticness of trying to get out alive. And running from space to space. Like, I thought that there was going to be more things to shoot at along the way, but that wasn't necessarily the point of it. The point wasn't to rack up a giant score. It was to get from point A to point B and do that over and over again to try and, like, get out alive. I really liked that feeling of kind of being, like, rushed and frantic. And that's, like, the only maze I can say that about. Like, I don't want to be rushed through mazes, but I really liked that. It made my heart beat a little bit faster. Huh. And it gave me this cool rush, and I really liked it. I also would say, like Angie, I really liked Voodoo. I like that open world atmosphere of it, where I kind of felt a little bit lost in this place that I've never been, and it feels unfamiliar, and the people there are a little bit unfriendly. I like that atmosphere when it comes to this kind of maze. You know, you're not turning corners in small hallways. You're in this area that's wide open, and
you don't belong there.
Yeah, kind of not being able to see the walls and not being able to see where it ends or how to get out is a feeling that's kind of disconcerting, right? Like, it's not like you're able to get out right away. Like, if there was a point in time where it's like, I need to exit, you'd have to figure it out. Like Angie, I was really impressed with Paranormal Inc. Again, as a first timer, I don't know how, like, tired that maze is for the amount of time that it's been around. I would love to see that. If it is tired, I would love to see that entire theme and some of the tricks that they've put into that maze get re-energized into something new. I think the ghost story into this kind of, I'm just going to, like, point out the weirdness of, like, halfway through that maze just being, like, no longer a ghost story and being, like, some weird alien thing.
Yeah, it's a little strange.
Yeah, it threw me off, but it was cool. It freaked me out.
But like that kind of, like, story, I think, still needs to exist within the park. I think it has its place. I'd love to see it get re-energized, right, into something new. Red Barn...
Like, I'd seen it too many times.
Yeah, and I think that's the same for a lot of people. I think that 9 mazes is great. Halloween Horror Nights at Universal has 7, and I think the Dark Harbor also has 7. So this is the most mazes out of any of the major places to go in Southern California. And I kind of think, honestly, that 9 mazes is a lot, even with the Fright Lane Fast Pass system. Getting in all 9 mazes plus the shows with the Fright Lane, we were pretty much at the end of our night. We got in a second time in Trick or Treat, but for the most part, like, if you were to go without Fright Lane, you would have to go multiple times to get everything in. And I think as an experience overall, I would love to see them go down to, like, 7 or even 6. Different mazes, just to have it really be able to change from year to year, and maybe emphasize the scare zones even more, so that people kind of still feel like they're getting a lot more scares, even though there's less mazes. That's just my overall feeling. As far as my first time here, I loved all the mazes. I loved having to go through 9 different experiences, but I could see, you know, going through something like Paranormal Inc., or Tooth Fairy, which I've heard has been around for a long time too, those mazes, after going through them 2 or 3 years in a row, it's time to kind of flip them and switch up and things. And I wouldn't mind, you know, not a lesser experience, but just less mazes and emphasizing other things somewhere else within the park.
Interesting. And it is, I was waiting for someone to bring up Tooth Fairy, the only maze that wasn't really brought up.
Yeah.
And that the thing, it's not that it's not a good thing. It's definitely kind of old, and it's one of the mazes that actually grosses me out. Personally.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, you know, the squid factor on that is intense. It's a great maze, but it doesn't rate high on my things of, I've got to do this one every year.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So I assume it's the same thing as usual. Is it the same thing,
yeah,
Nikki?
Yeah, it hasn't changed any.
Yeah, yeah.
I enjoyed taking Chris on it because he worked in dental when he was in the Navy. So it was like a bunch of like, look, honey, disgusting teeth, and so that was fun for him because he got to see a lot of that when he was in the service. But if it wasn't for that, I probably would have skipped it just because I'm like, yeah, it hasn't changed.
Yeah, the dentist theme is
good.
The dentist theme is a cool theme. You know, everybody hates going to the dentist. That sound of that drill is frightening.
Oh yeah.
But I don't know if it's enough to make a whole maze out of. Not in the terms that, again, I loved all the mazes. This wasn't a bad maze, but with all of the great themes that they had throughout this evening, 9 different mazes, to me, this was the one that was like my least favorite. Just because I would love to see something happen with a dentist, maybe even like a stage show or something like that. But to me, the theme here in a maze, it just didn't click 100% for me.
I do have to say, personally, though, for Tooth Fairy, because I'm just kind of like, I'm looking right now at like a picture of like all 9 mazes on the website. And like, I think like this is the first time I've had this thought. So I you could change my mind maybe, but I think for Tooth Fairy, if I were to like work for Knott's as a designer, as somebody who actually like kind of went and like worked on like the props and stuff for the mazes, I think Tooth Fairy might be one of the ones that I would want to do the most, just because like something about like the grittiness of the rooms, like all the props in the rooms, the ways the walls looked, like the paint, even the costuming. I think it had like a certain element to it that like it kind of went like a step further. Like they could have had just like, you know, dentistry tools and things thrown about, but like they didn't. They went an extra step and they made it like disgusting. And like really gritty and, there's like a little bit of that body horror thrown in. And I feel like that was very interesting. Like, you know, I know like Nikki loved the Red Barn, and like the experience of the Red Barn, like is something that maybe like the Tooth Fairy maze was lacking, but maybe like, when I think about like individual props and like just the aesthetics of everything, I think I like Tooth Fairy more, but maybe not necessarily like the story, but like the way the story is being told and like
the visuals of it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and I think some of it has to do with like in Tooth Fairy, you're in a very tight space the whole time. You're in like a one, a 4-foot wide hallway at all times, just kind of like walking around like in a maze.
Like you're going through a dentist office, basically, in the hallways.
Yeah.
The first time I went in that maze, though, I did have a kind of a fun moment where I turned the corner and there was no one around. I was in front and Shannon was behind me, and there was no one in front of me at all. So it was kind of like I got to turn the corner and enter this room, and it was, you know, it was nobody in the room, and it was the receptionist waiting room where they have the decaying receptionist standing behind the desk, or dental aides, or I'm not sure what they are, but I just turned that corner and I see them there, and they're all just they don't really jump out, they're just like staring at you, and I was just like, okay, well, I'm going to get going. And then they all just got in my face. They're like, well, then go then. I'm like, okay. Yeah, I know. That was just a fun moment for me there. So those are the mazes. Now, we did mention the shows. They have two shows here. This is Elvira, the Queen of Halloween, Mistress of the Dark, whatever else she calls herself. She, I'm sure there's other things. That's Beetlejuice.
He's the host with the most.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. It is host. All right. I'll give her that too. But she's had a show here off and on for many years. And this is her last year she's doing it. And, you know, I'm interested, you know, what you guys thought as someone who's seen the Elvira show before and someone who hasn't. So from someone who's seen it before, Nikki... Or Josh, you ready to go? I don't want to cut you off.
You know, let's go with the new kids. Go, guys.
New kids.
Yeah, I think it's sad to say that, like, I'm picking up on the Elvira show as it's going away. I think that this, out of all the shows, and I don't know why Universal, and I don't want to pick, I don't want this whole podcast to be picking on Universal, but I don't understand why, like, Universal thinks that, like, Pop and Lock Dance Troupes, like, say Halloween.
It's, you know, it's, like, yeah, they have the, yeah, Universal Hollywood has the Jabberwockies, and Orlando has the Academy of Villains. And it's very interesting because that's not something I'm personally interested in, but I will say every time that I've gone and seen the Jabberwockies, which is what Shannon always wants to go do, that is a packed house full of people that just can't get enough of it. So
see, I thought it wasn't popular because when we walked in, like, it was the first thing that I say to you. They're like, don't miss the Jabberwocky show. Like, don't forget to do it. Like, showtime's all night. And then, like, as you're walking through the park, there's, like, people with, like, signs that say the Jabberwockies on it, and then they're like just loudspeakers over the park, they're like, Jabberwocky show starts, and it's like
interesting,
literally, like, everywhere I went they were like so upset, like Universal, like not people, like not like guests, Universal is like obsessed with Jabberwockies, and it was like, my god, like, I don't really, like, I might have wanted to see it, but now I, like, feel like you're begging me, and now I don't want to see it.
Well, anyways, I don't want to, like, put too much on Universal and knock them, but for me, like, Elvira is a staple of Halloween, and especially for somebody who grew up in, like, the 80s and 90s, you know, like, the 50s and 60s had Vampira, we had Elvira. And that kind of campy horror fun is just so cool to me. I love B movies. I love, like, B grade movies. And this entire show was just phenomenally B grade fun. And when I say that, I don't mean like it's not an A show. It is an A show. It's a fantastic show. But this show knows that it's silly. Elvira knows that she's silly. It's a little corny. It's a little gay, you know, it's a little like drag queeny. It's a little over the top. Overall, like this 30-minute show or 45-minute show, I mean, it felt like it lasted 5 minutes because it was so fun and time just flew by. And at the end of the show, I was like, I really kind of want to see this show again. And I'm sad that like we didn't end up seeing it again. I would love to go back in time and watch some of the other shows because I know that she does vary up the song choices and know that she varies up some other things. But it was a great, if this was her last hurrah as a Knott's performer, this was a fantastic last hurrah.
Wow. And it's it's probably the last hurrah as Elvira. She's been trying to retire as Elvira probably for like 10 years. she keeps doing it. And you know, I think overall, when you hear that Elvira has a show at a theme park, you don't really know what to expect, but you don't really care. It's more, I think you go in because it's the novelty of, I'm just going to see this icon live. Yeah. You know, she could do anything, really.
And she does.
And she does.
Anything. anything she wants.
And that's the thing is, like, when I like what you said, James, is like perfect. Like, it's a theme park show with Elvira. Like, I don't know what I'm getting into right now, but what I did expect was, like, it's not going to be great. Like, everyone's just going because to see Elvira. Like, who doesn't want to go see Elvira? She's right there. I'm here. I'm going to go see her. Like, I don't care what happens. I see her.
Right.
And, but it's like, and I went in and, you know, I've seen her, you know, I've seen her at signings and stuff, but as Elvira, I've only really seen her scripted in a movie with, you know, where she can do multiple takes and cuts and camera angles, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, eh, is she going to be good live, though? Is she still going to be, you know, on key and, like, and all that? And it was like, yeah, she was. Like, she was good. She was perfect. Like, she was, you, like, I didn't expect her to be, like, a great live performer, but she was. And I, yeah, again, like, I wish, like Josh said, I wish I could see it again, but...
Here, well, can I always go back? It's still open.
Yeah.
And we might. And there's, when I think of theme park shows, I think of two variants here. I think of the theme park Disneyland type of show, which all of their shows are, you know, top of the line. All the performers are top of the line. They're really singing. They're really acting. They're really saying their lines. The other side of theme park or amusement park shows is very much like the Six Flags, where everybody is kind of mouthing the words.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's obviously like coming over the stereo system, and it's really corny. It's a little too tongue in cheek. The whole show really revolves around gags. Like, that's kind of what I think of the other amusement park shows. So it's really strange to me that Knott's has both of those. Elvira and her show is fantastically like Disney level type of show. It's a show where I would line up 30 minutes to an hour beforehand to definitely see this show. The Hanging is, and we'll get to it, is a show that is an amusement park Six Flags style show. It's too gaggy. It's too corny. And even as a first timer seeing this show, I felt like 30 minutes of my life was
robbed from
stripped
you.
Away from my soul.
I feel your pain, Josh.
And this is what I heard. Most people said this is the best The Hanging has ever been. And in my personal opinion, we'll get there. We'll get there.
All right. Well,
that they have. Ew.
All right. Well, we might as well just get The Hanging out of the way since we've touched on it enough. So what The Hanging is their kind of pop culture parody show. I don't know how they hang the person that's the most biggest offender.
The year's pop culture.
Right. And I don't know. I like it. I don't know if it's...
I would say this. I would like it had I not immediately previously seen the Elvira show. I went straight from Elvira to The Hanging, and Elvira's tongue-in-cheek corniness is fun and campy and enjoyable in the same way that, like, a really good B-movie is enjoyable. The Hanging is that type of amusement park entertainment that you can only get in an amusement park that just is full of gags. I will say, for the people that do put on the show, they do a great job. The people who are running and doing the action stunts are really good. And some of the punchlines did land. But for a 30-minute show, I think this 30-minute show could have easily been a great 15-minute show. It just dragged on far too long.
Yeah, I can understand that. I feel like, I mean, it's like if you stumble upon it, it's amusing. I guess that's kind of, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and say, like, it's the most awesome thing ever, but I find it amusing, you know, but I can also see if you're just not in tune with that kind of humor, you're just going to annoy you, you know, and I guess that's kind of how you guys felt. I know that Nikki is not a fan of this show.
Well, okay, can I expand on that?
I would love for you to.
Okay, so I grew up with Saturday Night Live, with, like, the original actors, you know, Chevy Chase, Bill Murray, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And back then, you know, I was probably too young to be watching it, granted. But it was hilarious. It was 100% comedy. And as the years rolled on, I was less amused by the comedy. It just seemed too forced and too gimme. It was, like, more pandering to the masses as opposed to, like, lowbrow, highbrow comedy, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
To the point now, I cannot stand Saturday Night Live, and I haven't watched it in years because every time I do see it, I'm like, ew, really? You guys need to give up. It's time. And
I like SNL. I still watch it.
It's what The Hanging is. It's like, you know what? If it was like one skit here or there throughout the park, it might be a lot funnier to me. And I get the concept, you know, the lampooning of the years of, you know, the memes for the entire year. But 30 minutes of that, I'm not paying that kind of money when I could be in a maze.
Yeah, like I said, I think this show would be great as a 15-minute show. Exactly. That they did multiple times, you know, a couple more times throughout the night. It just goes on far too long.
Well, I guess in that case, you could just leave, right? But you don't know who gets hung, because that's what this is all leading up to, right? So you come in 15 minutes late.
I got hung this year, but I'm hoping it's the Cash Me Outside girl because she needs to be hung.
It was.
Yes!
Spoiler alert! Oh my god, I can't believe you just spoiled that for me.
Spoiled years ago.
Oh, well, at least.
You know what's funny, though, is that right? They stopped doing it for a while, The Hanging, because there was construction going on in the park. So when it came back, people were just like, happiness and joy. And I was like, really?
Happiness and joy.
I think there is an audience for it, for sure.
There's a following for it. I just don't get it.
Like I said, I think that it just would be better shortened. I think that the jokes would land more. I understand what you're saying, Nikki, with SNL. I still watch SNL. I still like SNL. But there are some skits that go on like 3 minutes too long.
Exactly.
Right? Like you did the punchline. Let's move on.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that
it's too much force now.
That's what it is here. It's like they just keep pushing the same thing. And it's like, especially with this year, pushing politics, which I don't have a problem with politics. Like the podcast they do is very social issue, very political. But coming back to this, it's like you're trying really hard to push the same joke over and over again. It would just be great shortened up. That's it. That's all I'll say. But like the Elvira show, I would give a 10. This show, I would give a 6.
That's not too low. It's weird because last year's Hanging was pretty politically driven too, since it was in the middle of the election. So.
Middle of the cycle, yeah.
So it's interesting that I mean, it's kind of a given, I guess. It's called fake news, so clearly it's going to be Donald Trump all throughout. I mean, I wouldn't be like super bummed if it was gone, but I find it amusing. I'll just leave it at that. But Nikki, you didn't tell me what your thoughts on Elvira's last show. You've seen her many times before. What do you think of this one?
You know what? I would honestly say that was probably her best show that I've seen. I wasn't sure going in if they had changed it from last year or not. But it was so well done. And there were like some current pop culture references, and then there was like an extreme throwback to end the show. Yeah, and you'll see it and you'll be like, holy crap, that was awesome. Oops, sorry, Jane. But yeah, it was great, you know, and we were in there early enough that I was able to, you know, get some cool pics of the stage while there was nobody on it and it was still lit before they, you know, dropped lights and started in. And it was it was cool. It was a really good time. And I'm actually, like, the reason I'm going this coming Sunday is because there's a huge group of people going, and we're going specifically with priority seating for the Elvira show.
Is it Elvira's Army, the Elvira fan club?
No, it is. It's not. It's through Pinup Girl Clothing.
Oh, because Elvira has a new line through
the
Pinup
line
Girl.
With them. Yeah, yeah.
How lovely. Elvira will live on.
I can't wait for that. So yeah, it'll be a bunch of, you know, a bunch of girls dressed pinup going to see Elvira.
You didn't even tell me about this.
Because I enjoy torturing you, James. That's
apparently.
Your wife for Christmas. Pork. Sorry.
Let's leave porgs out of this for now.
I promised Shannon I wouldn't.
You told her to bring up porgs on the podcast? Okay.
No, I'm giving you a hard time, man, but, you know.
All right, so I guess that's pretty much it. I mean, there were scare zones we touched on a little bit here, but we are running a little long, so let's just wrap it up here. Let's get some final thoughts about this year's event. And we'll start with Angie, because we start over there the first time, so we'll end with her.
I'd say if you are visiting the area and you have one haunt or one like event that you want to do, and it's between like this Universal and Dark Harbor, which I do want to say Dark Harbor personally, I think maybe my favorite of the three. But I think if it's somebody, you know, visiting the area and looking for one thing to do, I think that Not Scary Farm is the thing that you should do above all else.
Well, there's a ringing endorsement. I think that should be on there.
You survived and enjoyed it, Angie.
I loved it. It was so, this to me, this is how haunts should be. This is how immersive, not experiences, but like sets, I guess, it should be.
No, I mean, I said it to you before, and I'll say it again. If people don't do haunts, but they love immersive theme park experiences, like this is the way to go. Halloween Horror Nights will get them in the door because it's familiar, and there's an aspect of that I love, whether how it's executed or not. I love walking into environments I'm familiar with, but Not takes you into these unknown environments. And they're able to suck you in, even though you're unfamiliar with them, which is really hard to do. And I think they just executed that so well. So that's my two cents on that. But all right, Josh, what are your final thoughts?
Before we get final thoughts, I gotta just say the one thing we did miss was the Timber Mountain overlay. Did you not do it?
Nikki?
Wait, was that the ride through?
Yeah, the log ride. They redid it for Halloween.
I did not do that one. I did not.
Okay, well, let me tell you, you did not miss much.
Really? Like, I thought it was going to be cool. It wasn't, though.
Okay, so I think the work that went into it was really cool. However, they need to rework how fast the log flume goes. What I mean by that is they actually had several during the day. It's not Spooky Farm, so I assume that there's not any scare actors on board. It's just mostly the decorations, which are fantastic, but you zip by them, so you can't really appreciate them. But you're going so fast during the evening when there are scare actors that jump out. They literally jumped out after I had passed them.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So that because maybe the one place they need to work on their timing.
Yeah, the log flume in general, like when you think of, I'm assuming most people who listen to the show, if they've never done Timber Mountain, have at least ridden Splash Mountain as the equivalent. You're in a log, you go down the flume. Splash Mountain, depending on when you ride it, sometimes goes a little too fast, sometimes a little too slow. for whatever reason, like, I don't know what the technical aspect of making the water go faster or slower is. But when I rode Timber Mountain, and what most people have told me is that Timber Mountain continually really does go pretty quickly.
It's like, it's more like the Matterhorn.
Yeah, it becomes more like the Matterhorn, in the sake that it's just a little too fast to take in all of the environment. I would have to have ridden it multiple times to catch a lot of the decor and the overlay that they added in. And the scare actors were completely pointless if they can't time it right. Because I don't think that the scare actors can figure out how quick the river is actually running. I mean, there were about, I would say, like five or six possible points where they could have jumped out and really scared us. And I think they got us once. And the rest of the time, the scare actors like couldn't beat the current. And that's the only thing that I would say is troublesome. I like the idea. I really do. But I would just say if they can slow down the current for whatever reason, I think especially in the evening, it would way be worth it. But I liked the overlay. I liked what they were doing with it. It just, yeah.
For me, the overlay was like kind of confusing. Like, I don't know. It kind of looked like they had like extra props left over from everything else. And they were like, let's just put them in here. Because there were times where we like would go buy something and I would like point to it and look at Josh and like put my hands up like, but why? Like,
I've heard in the past that the Calico Mine Train is where they did an overlay.
Yeah, they had a haunt there. I mean, you ride it, but it was haunted. So that was fun.
I think that's the better suited attraction for something like this because of the slow pacing of the train. Again, for anybody who's ever, you know, ridden like the actual train that goes around the park at Disneyland, you're pretty much in that kind of situation where you're sitting in a mine car and you're going about that quickly through caverns. I think that that's the better suited overlay attraction. But I mean, who am I to know? Like, I only rode Timber Mountain once. It was going too fast. Maybe it does go slower. But in my experience at that point, it was just moving way too fast for me to like enjoy the things that they had added in.
Well, typically the ride without the overlay is a fast paced ride, which is, I think, is a lot of fun, just the way it is normally. And they've recently, redid the ride with brand new animatronics, which I believe are from Garner Holt.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, so which is, you know, if you look up Garner Holt, you know him. He's done amazing animatronics and continues to, like Jack Skellington in Haunted Mansion Holiday, and you know, and Sally too. So, and fun stuff like that. So the quality is very high, but it's kind of an old ride, so it's kind of, it's just kind of hokey, the whole vibe, I guess, for lack of a better term. You know.
And that hokiness definitely does hold up in this. I just wish, like, and maybe it's my inexperience of never having ridden it until now. I don't know what was part, you know, like the overlay, I could see it, but I just didn't catch it all because I'm just not really aware of, like, what the ride looks like where I'm supposed to look left and where I'm supposed to look right, you know, what I'm supposed to catch and where the overlays would be. It just was kind of overall like meh. I would have rather seen it do the overlay again on the mine train.
It's kind of, there is not too much of a there's not really a focal point on that ride normally. It's kind of like you're just zipping through this town on a log, and whatever you see is what you see. That's kind of, as opposed
to
Splash.
That's what I felt for the Halloween. It's like, oh, cool, a pumpkin. And then it just was like, right. A bat. Oh, cool.
Right.
You know, it was like, I just kind of was like, oh, things, great. And then it move on to the next thing. Versus I really wanted to kind of slow down and take in all the cool things that they added. I really wanted to appreciate, because it did seem like they added in quite a few things that wouldn't necessarily be there normally, and I wanted to appreciate the artistry of it, and I just really couldn't. But I gotta say, generally going back to like my overall experience of what I really loved about Knott's, like Angie said, between Knott's and Halloween, Horror Nights at Universal and the Dark Harbor. Knott's is up there for me. I would suggest Dark Harbor as well to people, and Knott's before I suggest Universal to people. Mm. I would suggest especially like people visiting town if they're interested in the scarier version of Halloween and they're going to Disneyland. I would suggest them going down the street to Knott's, because its proximity is so much closer than Dark Harbor. And really, it's a theme park still. It still has roller coasters. A lot of the attractions are still running during the evening, so they can get both the experience of the park as well as some of the scariness of the haunts and the scare actors. I would say set design for Knott's is top of the line, better than anything else in town. Actor-wise,
it was seamless.
Yeah, seamless as far as set design. I would say costuming was also seamless, and the actors were fantastic. You couldn't ask for a better set of actors. And not just set, I mean hundreds of actors. all of them top of the line. There were very few that just seemed like they were lost. You know, they were all chatting, all performing well. Everything was top of the line. Everything was great. There were very few things that I could ever complain about. Like I said, like the hanging for me was like a point of contention, and I would still put it as a 6 out of 10.
Well, that's pretty high. And plus, stuff like the hanging is so like easily avoidable. You know what I mean? It's not like your night, like you have to experience it.
And for somebody who had the Fright Pass, to basically a fast pass to get through the lines, I was able to do everything. And I can guarantee you, if you don't purchase that, you're not going to be able to get everything in. And so I would actually just say that, pick a few things that you really want to do. If you get all those in, fantastic. Grab a few things that you want to do, as a second tier system. And if you get a few of those things in, great. I would suggest skipping the hanging. I would suggest personally skipping Tooth Fairy, and I would probably suggest skipping Timber Mountain. Everything else, though, I mean, if you picked it, like whatever you picked would be fantastic.
Excellent. So, Nikki, the Scary Farm veteran here, what are your thoughts?
It really encompasses everything that's perfect about Haunts. They were the first, and they still nail it. So it was definitely, Knott's is very much bang for your buck. I was planning on doing the scare pass for this year, the season pass. And just due to my work schedule, I'm not going to have time to do it this year. But just for what they charge for their season pass, which is peanuts.
It's $80 or something?
It's $90 for every night if you want to go.
Wow. Oh, it's $80 for Knott's pass holders. That's what it is.
Okay. But yeah, even still, $90 and you could go every night if you wanted to. So worth it. I would so recommend doing that. I work every night, so it's not feasible for me right now. But, it doesn't disappoint. From the props to the actors, it's always 100%. Even the couple things that I'm not a fan of, it's still a blast. They always deliver every year.
And so how many years do you think you've gone at this point?
I think I've gone to 10 or 11 years.
Okay, wow.
Based out throughout the past, I want to say 20 years.
That's a good offering of different points of their career.
where would you rank this year?
This year I would probably rank as one of my favorites. But I also got to see a Wolfman Jack show a million years ago when he was still doing the show. So being able to see Elvira and being able to see Wolfman Jack are pretty high on my list of amazing things for Knott's. So definitely being there this year and seeing her final shows is it's a big deal. It's really cool.
Wow, well, there's still time to go. I'm still going to go. I'm very excited. Seems like a great year. And you guys, you know,
get in line early for the Elvira show.
Oh yeah, well, there's several few a night, but you're saying don't roll up there last minute.
There are two shows a night, and when you know, because we had the press pass, so we were there. We didn't have to get there super early. But that line was crazy that we saw.
Yeah, I will not be having a press pass when I come back.
Yeah, so something's going to have to give. And if you want to see Elvira, you're going to have to park in line early.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to try to. The priority, of course, is hitting up the new stuff as someone that's gone past for years, and seeing Elvira. And other than that, everything else is
gravy.
Just gravy. I also want to point out, you guys have bring up Dark Harbor a few times. We'll be doing an episode on this year's Dark Harbor as well, so we can dive a little bit into that. And so look forward to that. Because that's, basically in Southern California, the big haunts are not Scary Farm, Universal, and Dark Harbor. And it's interesting to, you know, where you guys are ranking them this year.
I haven't seen Dark Harbor yet this year. I'm not going till the 28th, so still looking forward to that one.
So spoilers, it's fantastic.
Well, you know, it was funny. We went last year, James and I went last year for the Sliders tournament. And so we had time to do a couple of the mazes, and I was blown away. I hadn't been to Queen Mary in probably 30, almost maybe 40 years.
Oh, that was the first time you went to Dark Harbor when we went to the Sliders last year. Yeah. I didn't even realize.
Yeah, so I'm definitely looking forward to actually going specifically, you know, and being able to hit all the mazes that I can this year. But the ones we saw last year, I was really blown away. I was really impressed, so I'm looking forward to it.
All right, well, we'll dive into that another episode. I'm probably not going to get you on that one. It's kind of late in the game, 28th. But I'm probably going to bring you guys back on, Josh and Angie, to talk about that, since I'm really interested to hear your thoughts as, first timers to this SoCal Halloween experience. But
man, we're breaking Angie in like crazy this year.
Yeah, I mean that's how it happens. I mean once you get over that first time of you're like, oh, I can't do haunts, and then as soon as you get through, like, oh, that's all this is, and then you want to do everything.
Yeah,
it's like a drug.
I had a similar experience because I didn't. The first haunt I ever went to was in 2014. So, and before that, I was like, you know, I don't know about this stuff. And then as soon as you go through it, like, oh yeah, this is awesome. Let's keep it going. So I like to try to encourage our listeners who have that same on the fence about it to just experience stuff. And yeah, of course, you know, not everyone can get to Not Scary Farm. But if you do happen to be visiting Disneyland during Halloween time, as Josh was mentioning, you know, throw this into the agenda, you know, one of the nights, you know, it definitely will be, go at your own pace, you know, and try it out and all that stuff. I think it's worth it for Disney fans for their first haunt. And Angie can attest to it, so.
She can. She loved it. Absolutely.
All righty. Well, I guess that's going to wrap this up. So we'll see you all in the fog. This episode of Creepy Kingdom has been brought to you by Olivia Frankenstein. Olivia Frankenstein is an Etsy store that specializes in creepy-inspired enamel pins, buttons, t-shirt, patches, posters, bags, and much more, including their original design Spooky Mouse Club, a must-have for every Creepy Kingdom citizen. You can check out that design and much more by going to oliviafrankenstein.patternbyetsy.com. That's oliviafrankenstein.patternbyetsy.com.